As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Michelle. Do keep your Bibles open at page 1042, or have them up on your phones or tablets or whatever. We're going to be looking at this passage. Let me pray for us as we do that. Father God, thank you that your words are timeless and that your words are truth and bring life. And we pray that you would give us ears to hear your truth this morning. And that your words would bring life, fresh life to us. Life where we are sleepy or dull. Lord, please take away anything I say that isn't from you. But reinforce everything I say that is from you. Give us the humility to not just to hear, but to respond in obedience to you, our Lord and our God. Amen. Most of us feel like we're travelling at 70 miles an hour most of the time. There's work to do, there's bills to be paid, there's family to look after, there's friends to keep in touch with, there's emails to respond to, there's food to be cooked, there's mess to clear up, there's, you know, on and on it goes. And we always feel as though we're on the go. We long for a day when we can just sort of put our feet up and have no one making demands on us. We tend to live life so fast that some of us, when we go on holiday, we end up getting ill, don't we? And that's our body's way of saying, look, you're trying to cram too much into life. But most of the time, we just can't, you know, we're spending so much time juggling the different balls that we can't tell which ball it's okay to let drop towards the ground. And it's exhausting. And then we sort of become a Christian. We think, well, how on earth can we squeeze Jesus into that as well? And this episode that we've just read from Luke's eyewitness-based biography of Jesus is about the priority of spending time with Jesus. But I don't want this to come across as a sermon to make you feel guilty for not spending time with Jesus. I don't want to make it feel as though this is something else you've got to squeeze into an already overfull life. I hope that this will help bring some clarity about some of the things which can get in the way of time with Jesus. And I hope it will help us see a different way of living. See, here was Jesus going around from village to village, dependent on receiving hospitality from people in those different villages. And Martha and Mary offer him hospitality, and he goes along. Both of them want to spend time with Jesus. Martha wants to make Jesus' stay really memorable for him by cooking this fantastic meal. Mary wants to make the stay really memorable by actually sitting and listening to Jesus and soaking up all that he's got to say. I mean, people were spellbound by Jesus, weren't they? His stories were funny, they were poignant, they were thought-provoking, they were life-transforming. And when Jesus talked about God, you know, the picture he painted of God was so attractive, so compelling, that people just wanted to sit and listen for hours and they forgot that they hadn't eaten all day. And Mary wants to make the most of this opportunity to actually be in just a small group with Jesus, not surrounded by hundreds or thousands of other people, but let's get the most from this time with Jesus, she thinks. And whilst Mary is feeling the peace of Jesus' presence fill her as she sits and listens to him, Martha is feeling more and more agitated. And she wants this to be the best meal she's ever cooked for the most important house guest that she's ever had the privilege of hosting. And yet as she's peeling and chopping and so on, it's not just the lamb that is stewing, and it's not just the veg that is boiling, she is as well. And especially because her lazy sister hasn't lifted a finger to help. And as her blood pressure sort of rises steadily, she eventually reaches breaking point. She storms into the lounge and she pours out her anger at Jesus and says, "Lord, don't you care? Can't you see that my sister is being lazy here? Tell her to come and help me. It's not fair that I'm having to do all the work and she's just sitting there." And I suspect there was a bit of an awkward silence for a moment. And Mary maybe sort of rolled her eyes and slowly starts to get to her feet and thinks, "Well, I better go and pacify Martha." And maybe others in the room are trying to suppress a laugh because it's a bit comical hearing a grown woman sound like a seven-year-old complaining that their sister isn't being fair. But Jesus says this, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better." And in the busyness of our lives, only one thing is needed. We get worried and upset about many things, don't we? But only one thing is needed. My guess is that most of us who've been Christians a while will have prayed a prayer at some point fairly similar to Martha's prayer. "Lord, can't you see how much I've got to do and how little time I've got to do it? Can't you send someone to help me?" And do you know what? When we pray a prayer like that, which is so focused in on ourselves, that's normally a sign that we've let things get out of kilter. And Jesus invites us to put the focus back on him. And he whispers to us, "Look, you're worried and upset about many things. Only one thing is needed. One thing. Time with Jesus." Not just because he's the most loving man who's ever lived, and the more time we spend with him, the more loved we realize we are. Not just because he's the most wise man who's ever lived, and the more we spend time with him, the more we get direction and guidance for how to deal with the situations that we face. Not just because he said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." And don't we desperately want that rest? Not just because he's the most loyal friend we'll ever find, who, no matter how deep the darkness, he will stick with us. Not just because he embodies the forgiveness of God, and the more time we spend with him, the more we feel the weight of guilt lift off our shoulders. But also because he said he came to bring life in all its fullness. He didn't come to bring life in all its busyness. He didn't come to squeeze more and more into our lives. He came to bring life in all its fullness, all its richness. And only one thing is necessary, he says. Time with Jesus. Take everything else away, and life can still be full. Now, maybe you think that sounds a bit idealistic or unrealistic. I think of someone in a care home. Barely able to talk, not able to walk, certainly not able to have any hobbies or have a job or anything, and yet had Jesus and knew that was enough. Or maybe some of you are thinking, "Well, it's all right for you to say that, Dan. You get paid to spend time with Jesus." But believe me, I face just as many pressures as you do to squeeze more and more into my day. The irony of struggling to spend time with Jesus this week, whilst I had deadlines like writing a sermon about spending time with Jesus, you know, the irony didn't pass me by. But part of the point of this passage is that actually time with Jesus isn't just for the pros, you know, not just for the vicars and the disciples and the missionaries and so on. Time with Jesus is for all followers of Jesus. You know, the culture of Jesus' day would have been scandalized by Mary sitting and listening to Jesus. Everyone would have expected her to be off in the kitchen helping Martha. And so, you know, by sitting in the lounge, she's not taking the easy route. Actually, she's taking the difficult countercultural route. But she knew that spending time with Jesus, listening to him, was more important that day than being in the kitchen. Time with Jesus is for all Christians, not just for some. And spending time with Jesus takes humility. When Luke says that Mary was sat at Jesus' feet, that's not just because they didn't have enough chairs in the house. You know, it was a physical sign of humility because she knew that Jesus' words had an authority which no other words had. And she wanted to sit under their authority. And it's to be the same with us. You know, as we spend time with Jesus, actually that takes enormous humility. Humility of heart, humility of life to sit and listen and obey. It's God's life-giving word that we listen to. But above all, time with Jesus takes time. It can't be rushed. You know, computers speed many things up for us. I've got a wonderful app, which means that I can listen to a half-hour sermon or a half-hour podcast, and it speeds it up to 20 minutes. And it's not as though it sort of lands up here. And blah, 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 blah. It's very clever how it works. It saves me 10 minutes. That's fantastic. But, you know, relationships can't be rushed, can they? It takes time. And that's a massive challenge for those of us who are activists. You know, if one of our love languages is actions, if we show our love for our friends by cooking them a meal or giving them a lift or helping them out in some way or other, then we like to be on the go all the time. And we see time sat still as wasted time. And don't get me wrong, Jesus isn't saying that we should sit on our backsides all day and just sort of sit listening to him. When the Bishop of Southampton was here a couple of weeks ago for the commissioning service, he used this passage, but he also used Jesus' parable of the sheep and goats, where it's very clear that Jesus does want his followers to be very active in helping feed the hungry and helping to listen to those who are bereaved and helping to come alongside those who are emotionally broken. And, you know, all of those things are good things to do. There's nothing wrong with having actions as one of our love languages. But Jesus is saying that we mustn't neglect the love language of time. He longs for us to spend quality time with him. And why does Jesus see time with him as so vital and not wasted time? Well, the word Christian literally means a little Christ. We're to be mini Jesuses wherever we go and wherever we are. And so we're to be like him in how we treat obnoxious people and how we respond to broken people and how we care for tetchy people. And when we meet people like that in our homes or our workplaces or wherever, we're not going to be able to be a mini Jesus for that person until we've spent time with Jesus. Being a Christian isn't just about doing good. It's about enjoying Christ and being like him. Or to use the more biblical category of disciple rather than the word Christian. You know, a rabbi like Jesus who had disciples, it wasn't just about sitting them down in a classroom and teaching them a certain set of things which they had to believe and then pass on to others. No, being a disciple of a rabbi meant that you were shaping your whole life around their life. And so when Jesus chose the 12 disciples, Mark's biography tells us that Jesus called them to be with him and to go out for him. And note the order. They had to be with him first before they could go out for him. Because if they tried going out for him without having been with him, they'd have got it wrong. They'd have said the wrong things. They'd have done it in the wrong way. And it's the same for us. We have to spend time with Jesus first. Before Christmas, I had a sort of appraisal with the bishop. And we were talking about St. James's. And he made this comment. He said, St. James's is a Martha church. It's very active. And that's great. But it needs to be more of a Mary church. Or put that in terms of our triangle way of thinking about church. And, you know, we spend a lot of time thinking about the in, how we can care for each other. We spend a lot of time thinking about out, how we can serve our wider community. And those things are great. But we mustn't do them at expense of the up, the time with Jesus, so that we can become more like him. You see, if we don't become more like him, then when we go out into the world, people will just encounter us with all of our stresses and struggles and issues and so on. We won't be a blessing to the world. But if we've spent time with Jesus and become like Jesus, then when we go out into the world, we'll be a blessing because people will encounter Jesus through us. So time with Jesus is never wasted time. It's the very time which shapes us into being the people that God wants us to be. So here's the question. If time with Jesus is the one thing that's needed, what are the many things that get in the way? Well, look at what Martha struggles with. Verse 40 says that Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And if we're honest, our lives are full of distractions, aren't they? We probably have more distractions on one of these smartphones in our pocket than previous generations had in their entire lives. They're fantastic things, but so much distraction. We talk about multitasking, but plenty of studies have found that the more we attempt to do, the less efficient we are. And with 24/7 news cycles and Twitter feeds and so on, we're more distracted now by events all over the world. And it's great to be abreast of what's happening all over the world, but sometimes it can distract us from actually being rooted in our community here. And do I really need to know how the Twitter sphere has responded to Donald Trump's latest tweets? No, it's just a distraction, isn't it? Or we get distracted by our many possessions. You know, we probably own more things than any previous generation. And all of those things need looking after and they need updating and they need renewing and replacing and that sort of thing. Do we need all of those things? Or are some of them just distractions? What's distracting you? You know, I made a list recently of things that I know can distract me. Things like checking the news or social media more than once a day, or browsing the web late in the evening, or checking my phone each time I'm waiting for the kettle to boil or waiting for a bus. You know, wouldn't I be better off spending those 2 minutes praying or looking at the birds in the trees out of the window? The phone is a distraction to me. It was distracting you. Cut it out. And in verse 41, Jesus says that Martha is worried and upset about many things. She's anxious. And again, that's our generation down to a T. We get anxious about being single and anxious about our kids and anxious about our parents and anxious about Brexit and anxious about our pensions and anxious about having enough money to put food on the table and anxious about whether we look good in what we're wearing. And that's even before we turn on the TV and get anxious about what's happening elsewhere in the world. What was it Jesus said? He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Worrying won't make your life any longer. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all those other things will be given to you as well. You see, getting anxious doesn't help us one bit. The one thing that would help, because it would help put all of our concerns into perspective, is spending time with Jesus. And yet too often that's the very thing that we don't do. Distractions, anxieties. There's another thing I think in this passage which prevents Martha from spending the time with Jesus, and that's simply her kindness. You know, she sees a need, she's got the heart, she steps in. And many of us are like that. We find it impossible to say no when we see a need. So we'll end up giving out to our family and to our colleagues and to our friends and to the homeless people in Southampton and through our missional community. And before we know it, we've squeezed out Jesus. And we haven't got time for him. The many good things squeeze out the one thing that is necessary. And friends, if we don't spend time with Jesus, we won't become like Jesus. And yet that's what he calls us to do. Because that is what will heal our families and bring transformation to our workplaces and revolutionize our culture and bring peace to our world. So how can we do this one thing? Bill Hybels talks about chair time. He says, find your favorite chair and just take some time each day to sit in it. Have a Bible, maybe have some worship music in the background, maybe have some Bible notes, maybe have a journal. And make that chair time your dedicated time with Jesus. If you've never done that sort of chair time, I'm happy to give you some suggestions as to what would help you get going with that. Yes, it is harder at different stages of life, but it's never impossible. If you think you're too busy for chair time, ask yourself, what are the many things that are getting in the way of the one thing that is necessary? Or maybe go on one of the quiet days that we've got coming up next Saturday, or the following Saturday, whole days out focused on Jesus. If you haven't done that sort of thing before, well, chat to someone who has and ask them how they benefited from it. I'm starting to use a resource called Prayers to Start My Day alongside me reading the Bible. That's going to help me in my prayer life. I'm starting to read a book called Slow Spirituality for a Fast-Moving World. That's going to help me slow down and to hear God's still small voice. And as a church, I'd like us this Lent to use this time of Lent to take stock of our relationship with God. Jesus doesn't call us just to drift through the Christian life. He calls us to grow through the Christian life. And that means being honest about where we're at now. And I'd love as many people as possible to come along to a special spiritual health check evening we're going to do on Ash Wednesday. We're going to spend some time worshipping together in song. We're going to spend some time being honest by ourselves about where our spiritual life is at. We're going to spend some time working out how we can help one another to grow in the Christian life. And we'll share bread and wine together. And we'll have copies of this book, Spiritual Health Check, available both on Ash Wednesday and on the Sundays as well. And that's just something that you can work through by yourselves at home in your own time, just to help you take a spiritual health check during this season of Lent and work out how we can grow spiritually and therefore become more like Christ. And if you're not a Christian or you're not yet sure if you're a Christian, well, why don't you take the season of Lent to spend time with Jesus? You know, it's so easy to be a Martha, isn't it? To let all the things that we've got to do, all the busyness of daily life, to squeeze out time with Jesus and getting to know him. I'm sure Martha had loads of questions that she wanted to ask Jesus, but she missed her opportunity. And I'd encourage you not to make the same mistake. The many things crowded out the one thing she needed. And as you get to know Jesus, well, you'll get to know his wisdom, which will give you direction for life. You'll get to know his peace, which will bring you peace in your life and so on. You've got nothing to lose. You've got everything to gain. The challenge, get to know Jesus, spend a bit of time with him. Go on the Alpha course. It's not too late to sign up for that. That's another way to ask those questions and get to know more about Jesus. But here's the thing, wherever we are on our spiritual journey, whether we're just seeking or we're just starting out or whether we've been going for years and years, one thing is needed. Sometimes people say, oh yes, I'll try to find the time to do that. But it's not as though if we look under the sofa or at the back of a cupboard or something, we're suddenly going to find some more time. No, we only make time as we stop doing other things. So what are the many things that are getting in the way of the one thing for you? Is it distractions? Make a list of them. Try to chop them out. Is it anxieties? Consciously bring them to Jesus, because his peace will slowly begin to push those anxieties away. Is it kindness that you're doing more than Jesus has asked you to do? Learn to say no to some things so that you can spend time with Jesus. He doesn't just want your acts of service, he wants your quality time as well. That's all I'm going to say for now, but I'm going to suggest that we're quiet for a bit. And just in the quietness of your own hearts, make your own response to what you've heard this morning. And then I'll pray for us. Lord Jesus, we're sorry for when we let many things get in the way of the one thing that is necessary. We're sorry for the times when we squeeze you out. Lord, would you come by your Spirit and help us to see more clearly just how great you are and how spending time with you is never wasted time. Lord, as we spend time with you, would you form us more and more to be the people that you want us to be so that we can be a blessing to those around us and we can bring your peace into each situation we go to. Lord, give us the clarity to see the distractions and the courage to cut them out. Would you give us the humility to give our anxieties over to you rather than clinging onto them for ourselves? Would you give us the courage to say no to some things? Because we know that they're not things that you've called us to. And would you help those of us who are activists to work out what it means to spend time with you? For we pray in your powerful name. Amen.